Welcome to the Citizen Bitcoin Podcast. I'm Brady, and I'm sharing my journey learning Bitcoin, hoping it makes yours a bit easier. And how's it going out there, Bitcoiners? Thanks for joining me again today here at the dawn of the Bitcoin Renaissance. I've got a chat with Swan Bitcoin founder and CEO Corey Clipston for you all today. And I've got some big news to share with you all on the Swan front. I am joining the team as head of marketing. I've talked before on the pod about how Bitcoin inspires and hires the people it needs to grow, developers, educators, marketers, hodlers. For 2 years, I've been working on getting hired by Bitcoin, so I'm absolutely stoked for this opportunity. And I'm even more excited because Swan is an absolutely perfect fit for what I want to do. Swan is dedicated to Bitcoin only. It's focused on helping people give, save, and learn about Bitcoin. We're a Bitcoin on-ramp and education company. Our big goals are to onboard and teach 21 million new Bitcoiners how and why to hodl and take 1 million Bitcoin out of circulation and put them into the hands of these new hodlers. So you can check out givebitcoin.io to give the gift of Bitcoin, and why not give some to your partner for this Valentine's Day? You know, you hodl together in sickness and in health, in bears and in bulls. And we're taking signups at swanbitcoin.com for early access to Swan. It's launching in March, and we'll make Bitcoin investing easy with simple recurring buys straight from your fiat bank account to the blockchain. And just to be clear up front, I will continue hosting and producing the Citizen Bitcoin podcast as an independent project. Happy to field any questions you might have on Twitter, or you can email me at citizenbitcoin@pm.me. Thanks as always to the Let's Talk Bitcoin Network for including the pod in their feed. Give them a follow at LTB Network on Bitcoin Twitter, and check out the LTBN feed in your podcast app for the other Bitcoin podcasts included there. The Bitcoin 2020 conference is coming up quick. In several coming episodes, I'm going to be recording with Bitcoiners who will be speaking at the conference, including Corey, who will be speaking there. It's going to be even more epic than last year, so I definitely recommend making your way out to SF for this one, March 27th and 28th. There'll be a lot of satellite events and parties around those dates. It's going to be great. Come hang out with a bunch of Bitcoiners. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, let's get on with the show. This is my second chat with Corey on the podcast. We talked back in early November when Give Bitcoin launched. I wanted to have Corey back on to announce the news of me joining the team and just talk Swan. In this episode, it's one of those Citizen Bitcoin eps that's less an interview and more of just a couple Bitcoiners hanging out talking Bitcoin. We talk about the Taleb-inspired Swan brand. We talk about how Bitcoin is an incredibly positive Black Swan event, and we riff on Bitcoin's anti-fragility. We get into how fundraising for Bitcoin companies is different from fundraising for traditional tech companies, and we go down some random rabbit holes that pop up in the conversation. A quick note that I've got Parker Lewis on the pod next week, so look forward to that one. All right, let's dive into this conversation with Corey. All right, I'm excited to welcome back to the show, Corey Clipston. How's it going, Corey?
Hey, Brady. How are you?
I'm doing great. You are only the second guest to be a repeat appearance on the show, to have a repeat appearance on the show. So you're in good company along with our good friend Gigi.
Oh, nice. Yeah, great company, far above me as far as being an interesting person, but I'll do my best. I'll make up for it in quantity.
Yeah. Shout out to Gigi. Love you, man, wherever you are. Yeah, so Corey is speaking at Bitcoin 2020 this year, and this is the first episode of the Bitcoin 2020 kind of speaker preview series. I'm going to be doing about six of these leading up to the conference. Corey's going to be kicking it off. He will be speaking at Bitcoin 2020 this year. What are you going to be talking about?
Actually still planning out the session, and I've volunteered my services as whatever they want. Happy to be a guest of an interview. As you probably know, I'm a former broadcast journalist, so I've also offered to, I don't need to chew scenery. If they want me to interview somebody, I will. If I'm on a panel, all good. So I said, I'm like a backup utility infielder, and I'll do whatever they need.
Nice. That's awesome. Well, Corey will be on stage at Bitcoin 2020, and you'll definitely have to catch that talk. If you have not bought your tickets for the conference yet, you got to get on that. time is ticking. It's only about, it's like 8 weeks away, something like that. February, March. Yeah, not even that. It's like 7 weeks away till game time. And it's going to be a good time. You know, speaking of games, we're going to have March Madness going on at that point during the conference. So it'll be heading in, it's kind of between the Sweet 16 and the final. It'll be the Sweet 16 weekend.
M-I-Z.
Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
Z-O-U.
This is some kind of insider basketball, you know, junk going on right now. But Corey went to undergrad at University of Missouri. I went to the University of Kansas. And these are bitter rivals going back to, like, the Civil War era. So it was
little known fact, the Tigers and the Jayhawks, which are the mascots of the teams, were actually militia on opposite sides of the Kansas and Missouri borders. So,
yeah. And the game every year was actually called the Border War. things got heated as a proxy, like sports as a proxy for literal war. So that was good. So Corey and I got that connect there.
It's okay. My dad went to KU, as you know, so, you know, yeah, you know, it's all good.
There's a lot of people in this area of the country that have split families like that. So it's very common. So yeah, Bitcoin 2020, basketball is going to be going on. Lots of good stuff, peripheral events. You know, I think we're going to try to get together with some ballers, some fellow Bitcoin ballers, and maybe talk a little Bitcoin and basketball up on the rooftop there at SVN West. All kinds of stuff going on at the conference. It's going to be a great time. Corey and I will definitely both be there, so you guys should show up and hang out. Some exciting news I want to talk about, even more exciting than the conference. I have jumped on board with the Swan Bitcoin team as head of marketing, been working with Corey and Jan and the team for a couple months, just kind of helping out where I could. And Corey's invited me to join the team as head of marketing. I'm super stoked. This has been a goal of mine to get into the industry for 2 years now. And I'm just super excited, man.
Well, couldn't be more thrilled. Your ideas, your energy, enthusiasm, Bitcoin knowledge, which is considerable. And, you know, when I find people like you and Jan who already speak in the voice of the brand, because the brand is just Bitcoin, it's like, okay, you guys want to like just tweet from the social account? Sure, go ahead. I know it's going to be great. So go for it. So cheers, man. Glad to have you on board.
Yeah, cheers. I'm absolutely stoked. And that's what, I mean, this is, and I've told you this many times, this is really exactly what I wanted to do and what I had been really building toward on my own. I was, you know, in the midst of building this idea called Citizen Bitcoin Academy. It's all about education. That is what we need in this space. You know, Bitcoin marketing is education, which you say often. And so the goal of, you know, this business, this company, is to just educate people about Bitcoin. And that will basically, you know, bring in the next 21 million Bitcoiners.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, we have to up that. Jan says it's the next 7 billion. Evidently, I've been, you know, setting the bar too low at 21 million.
The next 7 billion Bitcoiners.
The next 7 billion Bitcoiners. Yeah.
I mean, we're going to get there eventually.
Eventually, you know, everybody will be a Bitcoiner. But yes, we're near-term focused on the next 21 million. You know, the funny thing is, I love, you know, just the Bitcoin bona fides, you know, of like you, me, and Jan are like all really solid. And yet it's our front-end engineer and designer over in Germany is the one who's been in Bitcoin the longest by far. He's been in since 2011.
Oh my God, I didn't even know you were in that? Since 2011. No, I did not know that. That's amazing.
Yeah. At our company, even like the coders are Bitcoiners.
this is definitely a hardcore Bitcoin product built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners and for new coiners and no coiners who will eventually be Bitcoiners. So I'd say like, you know, current Bitcoiners and eventual Bitcoiners are the target audiences for the product. So Swan is a new thing on the scene. I've been talking about it in the past couple of episodes at the top where I'm doing the ad reads and telling the listeners, the crew out there about Swan. And so, yeah, this is sort of a new idea that's been out there. It's been brewing in your head for a while. We had been talking about, you know, Save Bitcoin being the next product coming from the makers of Give Bitcoin, the savings product. And you had the idea of bringing out, you know, Swan is kind of an umbrella company for the Save and Give products. And then just decided, you know, this has got to be the brand of the savings product that's coming out in March. So let's go. Let's just start at the beginning. Like, why Swan?
Yeah. Well, I thought about would I wear a T-shirt that said "Save Bitcoin" on it and had like a safe or whatever we were using, and I was like, that's not really aspirational and cool. Then and probably everybody that listens to Bitcoin podcast now knows I'm just a huge Nassim Taleb fan and very much sort of see the world through, you know, a combination of that framework and maybe some, you know, Stratfor geopolitics type stuff. And Bitcoin is like the biggest, most positive black swan. Black swans can be positive or negative, just so everybody knows. But it's the biggest positive black swan that we've had, you know, in our lifetimes and potentially in hundreds of years or millennia or whatever it's going to end up being. And it just makes such perfect sense. Like, I think the idea of the black swan has been closely tied to Bitcoin since the very beginning. A lot of people have kind of seen it that way. And, you know, there's already been, you know, people kind of memeing things about black swans and Bitcoin. I saw it on a pillow somewhere, like a black swan on a pillow with a Bitcoin symbol on the bird.
Yeah.
So I just think it makes perfect sense. And then, you know, obviously people listening to this podcast are very much part of the core audience. And for us, I think, you know, black swan really resonates, but the brand then has all of this flexibility, with just swan imagery and even white swans and thinking about, you know, let's say our home market of the US, you know, 70% of household wealth is basically controlled and administered by women in this country. So being able to just think about the beautiful swan and swan lake and white swans and, you know, maybe Bitcoin was an ugly duckling or a black swan and over time, you know, turned into a beautiful white swan because it just got bigger and better. And we figured out UI and abstracted away all the mess and all these different things. So, yeah, we really like the different ways that you can play with it. And, you know, if you've been watching Twitter a bit over the last week or so, we've started to just play with the swan as a character. And I think you'll see a lot more really creative ways to do that. But, you know, we don't own at all the idea of, you know, a swan or black swan in Bitcoin. It's something that we think really is part of the community already. And we just want to market Bitcoin and educate about Bitcoin and kind of leverage this character that, you know, we're just kind of discovering and uncovering and fleshing out a little bit. And I think we're going to have a lot of fun with it. So hopefully there will be like a 10-foot black swan at Comic-Con in a couple years, red pilling a bunch of, you know, gamers. And maybe we'll have, you know, a talking swan that says, you know, stack sats like the Aflac duck at the end of all our videos or something like that. I don't know. All ideas welcome if you want to get at me or Brady and give us ideas or just meme it yourselves. Brady, why don't we just like put the, let's just put a bunch of like transparent swans on our website and let people pull it down and like do whatever they want.
That's already happening, man. That's in the works.
Okay, good.
this is what's got to happen. This little swan, this little transparent swan PNG that we found, we've been having so much fun throwing on, you know, just like epical moments in human history. Today we threw one out, like, you know, Tesla was in the news, you know, all over Twitter today because it's just absolutely skyrocketing in price. And Zero Hedge had a graph with or chart with like showing the past couple of months of Tesla's price action to like the last, you know, couple months of 2017 for Bitcoin's price action. They're just like, you know, lining up perfectly, going parabolic. And so we grabbed that awesome like photo of Elon with like the eyebrow raised way up, like bunch of like
smoking, you know, on the Joe Rogan podcast.
Yeah, a bunch of marijuana smoke, just giant cloud of it on the Joe Rogan podcast. Stuck that chart on there, and then the swan just hanging out on the side there, just like wrapped up in the smoke.
Pulled it up. The swan is saying, "Take a deep breath and enjoy the high, Elon. I've been there." So Bitcoin's exactly. Been there before. We'll be back again. To the all-time high.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. Yeah,
awesome.
So yeah, there's just, I mean, endless possibilities here. And we just like throw it out as a meme. The swan, the black swan has, you know, is a perfect meme for Bitcoin. And it just looks like it fits in there. The particular image that we found was like just kind of goofy and funny. And like, I don't know, it just fits in perfectly with like every image that we've tried so far.
Yeah, by the way, I would say if somebody actually owns that image, because we just found it on Google Images and wants like reasonable compensation, just hit us up. Otherwise, we're just gonna, if you ask for too much, we're just gonna make our own.
Yeah. Well, that's also in process. So,
but it's a good one. Yeah. I like that one.
I'm in love with that one now, and I don't like, you know, I need to see some other ideas out there, but we're talking to, some well-known Bitcoin artists and creatives out there in the space, to see if we can get some ideas, kicking back from them. But I do love that one that you found so much. So, that's going to go out on Twitter. The plan was to drop that tomorrow. So we're going to put the transparent swan that we've been using. Y'all can just play with it. We'll throw it in some Telegram groups and see if anybody wants to have some fun. So, okay, let's talk about the idea of Black Swan a little bit more. Let's dive in on that a bit, because, you know, like most, we can probably assume that a lot of people listening to this, you know, Bitcoiners in general, have read some Taleb and are familiar with the idea of the Black Swan, but you know, there's not that many that I know of anyway that have sort of studied or been a Taleb scholar to the, you know, point that you have. Can you talk to us a bit about the idea of a Black Swan, about anti-fragility, how it relates to Bitcoin, why it's important to understand, you know, Bitcoin as a Black Swan, you know, in this particular time that we're in right now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't put it in the same category as like things that you must understand, like some of the best stuff from Austrian economics. What I think is nice about it is it just describes so well what's going on. Mm-hmm. So it's just a really helpful framework through which to view and make decisions about like your own personal involvement, your level of investment, like all these different things. It just helps construct that that mental model and add to your, you know, lattice work of mental models to understand what's going on and, you know, what's likely to go on. And more importantly, like just to prepare yourself for, you know, to pick up these free call options that exist around you in this age, the dawning age of Bitcoin. So that's kind of how I think about it.
What is the mental model? Can you just give us like a quick summary on like what the idea of Black Swan means?
Yeah, I mean, a Black Swan is just something that has massive impact. So, you know, like five sigma, six sigma type event that wasn't really possible to forecast beforehand. If it's something that happens that's like, okay, yeah, we all kind of see that elephant in the room and then it happens, that's not really a Black Swan. So like a big downturn in the economy now would not be a Black Swan. Like, okay, we've all been kind of, you know, talking about that one for about 8 years now, and this is the longest bull market in history. Things usually end. In fact, a Black Swan would probably be like if Tom Lee is right and the bull market continues to like 2038, and you have one that, you know, if you have a 29-year bull market in stocks, that's a Black Swan, because that's never happened before. You know, but I think you want to have limited downside to a Black Swan event. So that's kind of the first thing. And that's, you know, that's why Taleb's favorite strategy is being heavy in cash and then like, you know, mild exposure to things with massive volatility. So you can lose, you know, 1x your money, but that's a small part of your portfolio. And then, you know, that small part also has the potential to go up like 10x or 100x. You know, so an example, which I'm sure will end up on the website for Swan Bitcoin, swanbitcoin.com, is, you know, this thing that's been floating around about the Sharpe ratio of a portfolio that's 99% cash and 1% Bitcoin, and how much better that does on a risk reward basis versus any other asset class. So yeah. And then I guess, you know, anti-fragility, really is just about things that gain from disorder, and just think about that as being like long call options and long put options. You know, you just basically, if there's volatility, and everybody generally, humans really like to see steady returns. And so you can make more money if you can figure out ways to profit from outsize of events that would seem to, that actually happen more frequently than people think they do. It's really tough to do that with other people's money, but it's really easy to do it with your own money. From like an asset management standpoint, it's really difficult to run Talebian strategies with other people's money because people really like to see steady returns, which is why it's usually, you know, people on the spectrum are kind of iconoclastic. Like think of Michael Burry's character in The Big Short, the Christian Bale character. Like that's a classic Talebian strategy. The guy was just like bleeding money every year waiting for the big cash in, and you know, basically couldn't talk to anybody about anything as he waits because he's just losing money constantly. It takes a special person to do that with other people's money. But it's actually like the classic way to make money with your own stack is to be long volatility. It's like, it's just the rich dad, poor dad strategy of like making sure you have a lot of cash on hand. So when there's a crash, you're the one that actually can pick up all the properties and get the great terms from the bank, you know, when everybody else is bleeding.
I mean, you got at it a little bit, but I think we can dig in a little bit more on it. It's the idea that there's, you know, an like a system, I guess, that is resistant to, not only just resistant to, you know, being attacked constantly, right? Being under attack constantly, but actually thrives and improves from that attack, from those attacks, right? And I don't know, I can't think of a system besides perhaps nature itself, you know, that is more anti-fragile. I can't think of a man-made system that's more anti-fragile than Bitcoin.
No, I totally agree. And like, just to put some meat on the bones, like I had lunch with, he actually owns a little Bitcoin, so I won't call him a pre-coiner, but a fellow entrepreneur today. And he is worried, you know, okay, what happens if the government shuts down Bitcoin? And I'm like, so wait, so you're telling me that the US government, with the strongest currency in human history, the dollar, like the longest standing, more ownership around the world of this currency than any currency that's ever existed, you're telling me that they're going to admit that they're so worried about Bitcoin that they think it's competitive to their currency and they're going to try to like put boots on necks and like steal the passphrases out of the heads of their citizens? And you're telling me that's not a buy signal for the other 180 countries around the world?
Right.
It's just like Bitcoin really is anti-fragile. Like there's nothing bad that can happen to it. There's nothing the government can do because they just like, if they try, they just make its case.
Yep, exactly. This is good for Bitcoin.
Yeah. The simplified flowchart. Is this good for Bitcoin? Yes.
Yes.
It's always good.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many other great examples of it too. I mean, you know, how many times has China banned Bitcoin? Every time the price goes up, Mt. Gox happens and like just obliterates the entire space, you know, it wrecks everybody's money. It's like pretty much the only exchange going at that point, you know, they had like 80% of like trade volume or something going on. And, you know, just completely goes under, loses everyone's Bitcoin. The rest, the bit that wasn't lost is tied up for years and years in some legal battle. And what happens to the price? You know, 3 months later, peaks of it, you know, $100,000 or $1,000, you know, at that peak. Silk Road goes down, Bitcoin's price goes up, you know, it just.
Yeah.
What was it that we were talking before we started recording about Nassim's forward in Saifedean's book in the Bitcoin Standard? And he said that Bitcoin's existence is an insurance policy against an Orwellian future.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, I think it's great that Nassim and Saif actually know each other. I think that's pretty cool. But yeah, Nassim Taleb wrote a short foreword for the Bitcoin Standard. And my favorite quote from that was really just the last paragraph. It was, its mere existence is an insurance policy that will remind governments that the last object the establishment could control, namely the currency, is no longer their monopoly. This gives us, the crowd, an insurance policy against an Orwellian future.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, the more Orwellian the governments get, the stronger Bitcoin gets. And that's the whole point right there, right? It's absolutely anti-fragile. It's pretty amazing. And so, yeah, I think that all ties back to just making the idea of a swan incredibly strong, you know, incredibly strong symbol for Bitcoin. It's kind of deceptive, or, you know, because it's, you know, the swan's very like a beautiful creature. It's very graceful. But then the idea of like anti-fragility and a black swan is just incredibly deep idea of kind of combining both of those together. I don't know. You just get this really rich symbol, I think, for Bitcoin. I love it.
Yeah. Or as, you know, as Guy says, we just stole his name. I'm like, no, sorry, dude, it's only one N. It's only one N.
Right.
I actually did speak with him that afternoon after having the idea in the morning. And it was like so hard not to tell him all about it, but I wanted to sleep on it for a few days.
Yeah.
But I was talking to him like that same day.
Yeah. He loves it. He was kind of giving me a little static about it on Telegram the other day, but you know, just in jest, it was all good fun. Yeah, so let's talk a bit about the product now. We have this amazing brand. We have this amazing brand. But yeah, the product itself, let's talk about what's going to happen here. It was originally called Save Bitcoin, and the premise was to create recurring buys for Bitcoin.
Yeah, swanbitcoin.com. We're doing the early access sign up thing. So if you sign up early, you'll have access to the platform earlier. And you know, our goal is to have like 50,000 people sign up here in the next 5 weeks or so. So we're going hard at that, spending some money, you know, blasting it out every channel that we have. To get people to know that that's there and really excited about it. And yeah, it's basically at launch, our plan right now, don't hold me to it, but our plan right now is we're going to allow monthly, first and 15th, so twice a month, and weekly recurring automatic purchases of Bitcoin. And so this isn't pre-funding where you know, have to, you know, send all your money now and then dole it out over time. That sucks. The right way to do it is just have it pull from your bank account, set it and forget it, not have to think about it, not have to do top ups, and just always have it pulling and investing in Bitcoin for you. So that's what we'll be launching with. You're going to be able to, you know, take your Bitcoin and either leave it, you know, essentially custodied with Prime Trust if you want to, but you know, if you want to, you can move it to any Bitcoin address that you want to. So we think that's great. And we're going to have a lot of education, you know, especially for the newbies that may not know what their options are. We'll have education on, you know, cold storage. We'll have education on really good, you know, keys and, you know, multi-institutional custody products and, you know, multi-sig products and things like that, and just like letting people know what their options are. So we're really excited about that. There's going to be a lot of education integrated into the platform and a lot of community. So a lot of webinars and a lot of, you know, opportunities to engage with us and our advisor crew. There's probably, what are we like? I'd say like 90% sure that we'll probably launch a podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
A new place to hang out. I think it's going to happen. Yeah, we're going to have to get a good podcaster, a good interviewer on staff one of these days to do that. That'll be good. But yeah, lots of video, lots of time to hang, and you know, maybe some fun things like like founder office hours where, you know, some combination of like me and Brady and Jan and maybe one of our advisors like, you know, Stefan Lavera or Safe or somebody will actually be there to interact, and you can sign up for slots, and maybe we'll have like, you know, 6 or 10 you know, members, you know, people that are signed up for the service will be able to just kind of like come and hang out for an hour and talk about Bitcoin every week, that kind of thing. So I think we'll have a lot of creative new ways to talk and engage. And I think you said something really interesting this morning. I think you know, it's like Bitcoin friend on demand. Like, we want to be for you whenever you want to talk about Bitcoin. Like, you shouldn't be stuck, you know, over in Thailand like John Vallis with no one to talk to and like have to start a podcast just so that somebody will talk to you about Bitcoin. Like, we'll always be there for you. If you want to talk about Bitcoin, like, we're going to be here to talk Bitcoin with you.
Oh, man. Shout out, John. That's hilarious.
That was my favorite John moment.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I'm just going so crazy over here. I had to start a podcast to talk about Bitcoin. Then he tweets things like, he's like, the quality of conversation that I have on Bitcoin Twitter is like 100x the conversations that I'm having in the real world over here.
What I love is like, he wakes up after the day's conversation is done. It's like, I almost expect his tweets to just say like, you up? Like, is anybody still engaging on that topic? Like, I have some funny things to say now.
Just needs to, you know, get back over here, man, stateside. And I think he's from, I think
he's Canadian for sure.
He's Canadian. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I saw. Yeah.
You don't usually get that subtle mix of cocky and humble in the States.
Right. Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's a good mix though. Makes for a quality person.
Yeah.
So yeah, that Bitcoin friend, you know, you have a way to access, just somebody that, you know, you have questions for. Everybody's got that Bitcoin friend. Everybody's got that computer friend, the computer person, the family or whatever. Same idea. You know, you got a question about like, what specs do I need on this new laptop I'm going to buy? Can you give me a printer recommendation? Stuff like that. Same thing with Bitcoin. And you just need that Bitcoin friend. There's just not enough of us out there yet, fully distributed. We'll get there. But for now, you might need to take advantage of a service. You know, text a Bitcoin friend, ask a question.
Yep. But really, just to encapsulate it, I mean, we basically just say it's Swan Bitcoin is the best way to buy Bitcoin.
Yeah.
You know, it's simple. It's to the point. It's Bitcoin only. It's a couple clicks and upload your, you can sign in with Plaid and just hook up your bank account, or just enter your bank account and not have to do the Plaid thing, whatever you want, and just set it and forget it. We'll still offer some really cool ways, if you do like to, tweet or telegram your friends about having stacked some sats, we'll definitely give you something to share every time you stack sats. That'll be pretty cool and memeable or whatever. But, in general, you should just be able to do it the same way that humans generally save, right? Like we do the best when we're regularly contributing out of our paychecks into an IRA, or you're regularly paying a mortgage, or you just pay for something upfront, that on a credit card and pay it off over time or whatever it is, chopping up a big purchase. And you should, if you're in this day and age, you should be thinking about how you're going to have a big stack of Bitcoin. The best way to do that is to buy it over time.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have a big stack of fiat to deploy at some point in time, then you really have no other better option. You're not going to time the market.
Yeah,
and that's the other thing is the volatility thing, right? The volatility risk that comes with trying to, if you want to save a bunch of fiat and try to buy the bottom and sell the top and multiply your Bitcoin that way. Yeah, man, that's been tried by a lot of us, and we've 99% of us been burned by trying to do that. So that's why we're here to preach that DCA gospel.
I had a trader friend that was, he actually runs one of the big crypto trading desks now for one of the bigger players. And like, he just knew his TA was right. And he knew that like 6K was the bottom, and he just put like a huge fat stack in, like his whole fiat stack in at 6K. And like, it wasn't 10 days before it was just on its way down to like 3,100.
Oh, and, man, that's a gut check right there, dude.
Yeah, I mean, if you could have just like spaced that out, I don't know. But I think it's more for like, it just removes the friction as well. Like if you're kind of insecure about and don't even want to like study the charts and think about it, you're just not going to have, what they call like buyer's remorse or post-purchase cognitive dissonance if you set up a buy over time program. It's just the easiest thing by far for like the human mind to get over. So reducing that friction and just teaching people to buy this way, I think it'll be a much easier sell, frankly, than trying to get somebody to go and, choose Bitcoin from a menu of 30 altcoins and Bitcoin in an exchange interface. It just seems like a better, simpler way to get people buying Bitcoin.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things I love about Swan is the simplicity, the focus, the laser focus on doing one thing better than anyone else is doing it. And, there's what's his name? Chris Christensen or something Christensen, David Christensen. I can't remember his last name is Christensen. Can't think of his first name right now, but he's a legendary marketer from Harvard Business School, recently passed. And
Clayton Christensen, Innovator's Clayton. Dilemma guy. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Clayton Christensen, has some amazing ideas about, about products and, in marketing. And the thing that always sticks with me is idea of hire, what would you do to hire a product? Why do you hire a product? And for me, the answer is, and I think for a lot of people, it's, I want that product to be the best at doing exactly what I need it to do, this one specific thing. And there's a lot of products that start out that way, and then the feature creep sets in and you start going for.
Yeah. Yeah. You would say some existing players have a bit of an innovator's dilemma based on feature creep and trying to be too many things to too many people.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about potential competitors in the ecosystem, and I think it's important before we do that. So, we're early in this game. We all know that. And so at this point in the game, rising tide lifts all boats.
I mean, I think about it like, just congratulations, by the way, on your Super Bowl victory, but like, so they just beat each other's brains out playing football. Right. But like, if, some members of the Chiefs and the Niners and the Seahawks and the Packers and the Ravens are hanging out like at a bar, are they going to be fighting? No, they're going to be hanging out. Right. So like, I can say all of these things about, you know, I think this is a better way to do this or that. But at the end of the day, everybody working on Bitcoin, even if they're working on other things too, is net positive for Bitcoin. And, you know, we definitely owe them a debt of gratitude. Like, I may not really like, you know, what Coinbase does, or that, you know, Brian Armstrong will write an article about cryptocurrency in the 2020s that's 1700 words and says Bitcoin wants, you know, I may not like that, but at the end of the day, what was there before Coinbase? Mount Gox? Like, we owe some, we probably owe like at least half of Bitcoin's market cap to the existence of Coinbase. You know, I think we're just here doing something that I think is, you know, better for the space now and better for onboarding the next generation of Bitcoiners, which I think will be a larger generation by an order of magnitude. And I think we're better positioned and we'll do a much better job at that. As you said, what's the job to be done? Well, we're the tool for that job. And I don't think that Coinbase is anymore.
The best first place to buy Bitcoin. I would not
print
be.
It.
Yeah, I guess Coinbase is what I suggested before. Yeah, honestly, that's what I suggested before because it's the easiest. You know, I had a brother-in-law that came to me and was like, I want to buy some Bitcoin. What do I do? I was like, honestly, man, just go to Coinbase, set up an account. It's the easiest thing to do, and get a hardware wallet and withdraw. I'll help you with that. So that's what we did. But yeah, there's, you know, all kinds of confusion going on Coinbase with what token to get, and you're not going to get any education about what Bitcoin is.
So you made a really good point. Like, you know, we're going to be doing our absolute best, and we already have a bunch of, you know, primary research and interviews about hardware wallets and, you know, places like Anchorage and Unchained Capital and these different, you know, places to securely store your Bitcoin for you know, for families and things like that. And you know, our incentive to build a valuable service and company is to do the best job possible for our users, educating about those sorts of things. Whereas an exchange doesn't want you to take your funds off platform. Of course they don't. They want you to trade, you know, they want you to use that money on 100 altcoin trades this year. Right. So they're like, of course they're not going to educate you about the ins and outs of cold storage versus multi-sig and like what's right for you, and you know, maybe you're just better off, you know, sticking with our custody solution or whatever it is. Like, they're not going to educate about that kind of thing objectively. And also I think the you know, this is very important. You certainly have the opportunity, if you want to just leave it with us. We have the same custody solution that we have for Give Bitcoin, so it's Prime Trust with Fireblocks in the back end. So, you know, regulated custodian, same one used by Binance, Bittrex, Huobi, you know, OKX, bunch of big crypto funds and whatever. And that's great. We do not charge for that. It's not a money center for us, unlike the vault products of the exchanges. And they charge you, you know, X number of bips every year, 35 or 50 or whatever. And they're taking some of your Bitcoin stack every year. That's not a profit center for us. We don't make money on custody. So we literally are indifferent as to whether you leave it with us or, you know, hopefully we're educating you and you're making the right choice for you, yourself and your family. And if that means multi-sig or hard wallet or whatever, you'll do that.
Yeah, I mean, we're incentivized to actually teach you the best practices because that builds trust in the brand.
That's right.
Right? It builds trust with potential referrers. You know, all of you listening out there right now, I mean, it's... You're Bitcoin's marketing team, you know, and Bitcoiners are just ruthless about their recommendations, right? I mean, they're going to find the best thing and they're going to call it out over and over and over again until it gets better and better.
Remember that time when that one company was using the word time lock, like in some of their marketing? That was so annoying. It was like, don't jack that Bitcoin term. So good example.
That hardcore.
Yeah. The Give Bitcoin product, which is out and live, and givebitcoin.io, by the way, just went through a redesign a couple weeks ago. It looks awesome. We added Plaid at the beginning of the year. So super easy to hook up your bank account now.
What's Plaid? Oh yeah.
And, we're actually adding credit and debit, here soon as well. So it'll just be even easier to whip out a credit card and give somebody a gift of Bitcoin. But yeah, good example of where, you know, Bitcoin rises to smack you down if you step out of line. You know, we were using the word time lock. We were saying give plus time lock plus educate. And, you know, of course, time lock is a function in Bitcoin code. And, you know, it means something very specific in Bitcoin, even if it also means something outside of Bitcoin. And we were like, I fought it for like a couple of days. And I was like, but it's like a word and I like it. And we've been using it for a while. And then I was like, you know what? Escrow is fine. Whatever. It's all good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, there was a good point there.
Yeah.
It was a good point. Yeah. It could lead to confusion with
shout out
potentially down the line, I guess.
Like, who hit me for that? It was Rodolfo and Shinobi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love you guys. Keep us honest, man. We're trying to do the right thing. Every opportunity we get to do the right thing, we will. Doesn't mean we don't have opinions, but you know, we're doing right by Bitcoin, and that's why we have, you know, the support of Bitcoiners, and you know, this is something we're building for Bitcoiners.
So how are things going? Let's get a little update on Give. Last time we talked on the pod, it was beginning of November. Give had just launched in the beta.
Yeah. We had set, you know, team targets and, you know, told people that we were fundraising from and that had already given us some money, like what our targets were for basically like a 5-week live beta. So we went live to the world. I think it was November 21st. Gotta be the 21st. And yeah, basically that through the end of December. And yeah, we more than doubled the number of gifts that we had planned for. And we did almost exactly double the transaction volume. So that was really exciting. Super happy. It made it very easy to raise money again starting in January. So we're off to the races on that. And yeah, I think between that, the relaunch, hiring up the team. I mean, you think about like December 1st, it was like me in a dev shop. And since then we've added Jan, we've added the aforementioned coder, the Bitcoiner from 9 years ago, Brandon Quittam, Mr. Mycelium, has been chipping in and helping us with a lot of you know, email construction and funnels and things like that. Turns out he's a genius on that. We're really just absolutely thrilled to have a full-time team. We've got a couple of more members of the marketing team that have joined for the next 2 months on contract and are really, you know, well-known big names, but we're gonna obviously keep that under wraps and see how things go. But I feel like loaded for bear, and we're getting ready for a big launch, and Bitcoin's pumping, and yeah, things are good. It was tough when Bitcoin went from like 13.8 down to 62 or whatever it was, 64 again. You know,
yeah, the mini bear market of 2019.
I know you wanted to talk about raising money for Bitcoin companies and how that's different. It's probably a good time to jump into that.
Yeah, let's do that. We'll set it up because you've been raising money for businesses for a long time. You've been through, what, dozens, you said, I think?
I mean, I've been raising money for companies since 2004. I started out doing like restaurants and nightclubs and movie funds and real estate funds and, you know, restaurants and things like that. And then I started getting involved in like mentoring startups and helping them prep for fundraisings when I was still at Google in like 2011, 12, 13. And then, yeah, basically the last 7 years I've been in kind of the Silicon Valley, San Francisco, LA, New York ecosystem, helping early stage companies with strategy and fundraising, and was doing that full time from like fall of 2015 until starting this company. I've been in that seat helping a CEO raise rounds for like 30 rounds, a little more than 20 companies, and a little over a quarter billion in the last 4 years. And I will tell you, there is nothing raising money for Bitcoin companies is just different. And I've done it a couple times now outside of this as well. And I'm obviously advising some other Bitcoin companies in the space and trying to help out and trying to formalize that a little bit with something we can talk about. But, yeah, and basically what it comes down to is there's a weird thing with raising money for into the equity of a Bitcoin startup, which is, I think, why they've generally been starved for investment in the past. If somebody doesn't really understand Bitcoin, they want nothing to do with a Bitcoin startup. And then if they do really understand Bitcoin, they usually prefer to hold all of their, you know, any pennies that they can scrape together from under the couch is going into BTC. It is kind of interesting. What I think happens is it's basically just directly correlated to the noise that comes when the price is moving and it's in the news again. And so, you know, as an example, like VCs that I was talking to in like, you know, November, December, and kind of prepping for things, maybe just didn't get back to me for like 4 or 5 weeks. And then, you know, the price pumps in January and all of a sudden your inbox is flooded. So I basically, my recommendation, and I share this with all of the Bitcoin startup CEOs that I talk to, is basically have your raise in a box, like your whole plan kind of ready to go. And don't really even bother until there's a price pump. And then when it comes, roll out your plan and raise all the money, and then raise considerably more than you actually need, because you may have a long trough after that and it may be difficult and you really can't gauge for that. And obviously, like, more than other startups that generally can count on, you know, if you're hitting your numbers in a SaaS startup or in, you know, B2B enterprise company or something like that, you can count on additional funding from multi-stage VCs. In Bitcoin, you really can't count on that. So it's a really good idea to kind of stay lean as much as possible and not overhire and not overextend yourself, and not get into too many product lines that might be unproven. Like, maybe you should only be like, you should probably only start one unproven product line at a time instead of like
right.
three or four and having to hire into all of those and hoping that one of them hits. Like, get one working and then, you know, maybe add one at a time. You just kind of have to grow a little bit more conservatively, because the outside capital isn't guaranteed at all. And then you don't know when it's going to be there. I do think in a bull run, and especially in this one, I think there are actually plenty of generalist VCs that are actually like a preferred source of capital for Bitcoin companies, as opposed to crypto funds that, you know, like, there are crypto funds now funding Bitcoin companies, and like, I don't want their money. So I'd much rather go to, you know, people that aren't like super high on DeFi, and we might be their first investment in the space, but it's because, you know, they've read the Bitcoin Standard, or they've read Jan's book, or they're following Twitter and they're getting the right information, and they understand that like Bitcoin is the only thing that matters, or at least it's, you know, two orders of magnitude more important than everything else combined. Even if there's some interesting experimentation going on a few projects, whatever. I think we're going to see a lot more money come in this cycle from generalist VCs exploring the space for the first time. So I'm excited for that and trying to help make that happen.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Seems like the bull run where, the broader tech investment scene will want to get in. Like, it's been, you know, I guess it's been proven twice at this point, right? You know, you kind of, the cycle happening twice. So if it happens again, it'll be the third time. And I think that that's like, all right, so maybe there's something to this stock to flow thing, or there's something to this, the way that this thing's monetizing. And it's been de-risked a lot, I guess, in their eyes at this point.
I should tease Bitcoiner Ventures real quick. Yeah, so bitcoinerventures.com. Basically, this was something I started working on in like summer of 2018, and it just wasn't in the right place to be able to do it. Didn't know enough about Bitcoin, didn't know enough people. But the original idea was basically like consensus for Bitcoin. Like, why should they have all the fun and have all this money to slosh around? And I don't think that it's the right thing to actually aggregate a bunch of LP capital under Bitcoiner Ventures immediately. I think we have to learn and figure something out and like what makes sense. But for now, it's kind of like a clearinghouse of information for Bitcoin startups and investors in Bitcoin startups. So the partner group out of the gate is myself, Stefan Lavera, the podcaster, Jan Pritzker, obviously the author and CTO of Swan, and a guy named Stephen Cole, who's the head of organizer of the Orange County Bitcoin Meetup and a very active angel in Bitcoin startups. He's in ours. He's in a couple of other big ones that are pretty well known and really, you know, really smart tech guy and adds a lot of value. And so for now, first thing we did was put together a big database of like basically everyone who's invested into a Bitcoin company. And so that's live at bitcoinerventures.com. It just brings up that database. And the next thing that's happening is we've been fielding some inquiries from people that want to donate to open source projects and just want us to help them choose who to go to. So somebody, you know, has already hit up Stefan and given him, you know, $50,000 to funnel towards somewhere. So we're working out how to do that in like a smart way and want to put together like a little council made up of, you know, some smart core devs and a couple other people, and maybe a council of three or a council of five to figure out where those grants should go and how to be transparent about that and not, you know, try to like own Bitcoin or anything like that. but just help that money find a home in a smart way. So I think that'll be interesting. And then we're really going to help Bitcoin startups raise capital. We're going to be making introductions just on our own time for no compensation. And then I think maybe the next stage is we've gotten a couple people that have volunteered to basically just help us aggregate a massive email list just to, you know, start putting out a newsletter and then maybe use that to basically jumpstart an angelist syndicate. That might be the first way to actually start putting some capital to work. And it's, you know, pretty easy, low touch. So Bitcoiner Ventures angelist syndicate might be launching later this year. And so then you can kind of choose from the deals that we identify and where, you know, we're putting some of our money and follow us along in there into some of those companies.
Yeah. So, you know, for listeners out there who aren't in the investor game, what's an angelist syndicate? Yeah.
If you go to angel.co, this is a business that Naval Ravikant started. And basically you can establish yourself a reputation for having access to good deals and having good taste in startups and run a syndicate, and people can subscribe to that. And then you basically, as a subscriber to a syndicate, you get notified every time that they have an allocation into a deal. So like for us starting small, what we'll probably do is sign up for like $100,000 or $150,000 allocations into, let's say, angel rounds or seed rounds for Bitcoin startups, maybe A rounds. And we'll fill that allocation based on the first people that come and say, yes, I want to put $2,000 in, I want to put in $10,000, whatever it is, and we'll fill up our allocation. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be our syndicate.
Yeah. And there's a lot of syndicates there now that are like led by big angel investors that have been in the Valley for a long time or whatever. And so they've built up some trust and reputation, and then, you know, some, you know, maybe fresh faces in the game want to kind of ride those coattails a little bit. But there's not a syndicate for Bitcoin investment at this point.
Yeah, there's not a Bitcoin focused syndicate. That's true. We would be the first.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, hey, if somebody wants to beat us to it, please do. Please go start a Bitcoin syndicate like tomorrow. If you're hearing this and that sounds like cool, go to angel.co, go sign up for a Bitcoin syndicate and create it and blow it out of the water and do a great job and, you know, raise us all some money. Yeah. I'll consult you for free if you want to do that. I don't care who does it. It just needs to exist.
Yeah. It needs to happen. So either you will it into existence or you help somebody do it, right?
Yeah. This is like the Google Nexus of Bitcoin funds. We're just like putting it out there and saying like, please do this better.
I love it, man. Well, you've got some news about a new investor that just hopped on board with Swan, and I think now's the perfect time to announce.
We do, and so I love this book, first of all, Why Buy Bitcoin, by Andy Edstrom, and I think he's just such a great example of this next generation of people getting super red-pilled into the space. You know, he's a financial advisor, former Goldman Sachs guy, writes incredibly clearly, thinks incredibly clearly, has like super strong opinions, is not ashamed whatsoever that he came to Bitcoin at this, you know, relatively late stage. He knows he's going to be early in the grand scheme. And he's just written a really eloquent, well-stated, very comprehensive book for that sort of like high net worth family office type, you know, family, you know, financial advisor type audience. You know, anybody really that has a bit of a portfolio and is looking at Bitcoin as an asset to add to their portfolio, it just makes such a great case. So thrilled to announce that Andy is joining us as an advisor. He's also invested some of his own hard-won capital into our company, and we're thrilled to have that to put to work to bring Bitcoin to the masses. And it's really exciting.
Yeah, that is really awesome. I love Andy's book. Of course, if you missed the last week's podcast, Andy Edstrom was on the pod and it was a great episode. So if you haven't listened yet, definitely go back and check that out. Yeah. So Corey, I heard you were in Austin recently hanging out with some Bitcoiners. What happened there?
Yeah. It was fun. It's, I hadn't been to Austin since, I don't know, South by like 2010 or something like that. 10 years later, basically I went to, the Bitcoin capital of the world. Which I think, you know, probably it is on a per capita basis. Definitely has an aggregation. I mean, I think basically you know, I imagine that basically every day there's a steak lunch somewhere in downtown Austin with a bunch of Bitcoiners just hacking away at meat. That's totally true, it turns out. I imagined it that way, and that's exactly how it was. There's, you know, a bunch of places with like 16-ounce, $16 ribeyes and stuff like that. And, you know, nary a vegetable to be found. But no, it was good. I was down there for two reasons. One was to hang out with the Unchained Capital team and get to know them. And, you know, been advising them and helping out a little bit on the side for a while now. And hadn't met most of the team in person. I think I'd only met Phil and Parker. So just getting to meet their new hire, Will Cole, who's running product there and is just a spectacular talent, longtime Stack Overflow guy. And then obviously get to see Joe and Drew in person and get to hang out with them in person was awesome. And then the other thing was probably, it was about maybe like a month after I joined the advisory board of Riot Blockchain, which is a NASDAQ-listed Bitcoin mining company. So I'm on that advisory board with Pierre Richard and Jan Pritzker. It's actually where Jan and I got to spend a lot of time together before bringing them on to Swan. You know, so they're in mining. I didn't know anything about mining. And so usually, like when I need to know something, I just, you know, create a Telegram group and try to get people into it to teach me about that. So started 2149ers, which is basically, you know, 49ers, the miners, to mine those 21 million Bitcoins. And, you know, it's basically just loaded with a bunch of North American, you know, Bitcoin mining executives and people kind of mixing it up in that space. And out of that came the idea to, you know, basically just do a little mini conference down in Austin. So that was the first night I was in Austin. I was expecting like, you know, 8 to 10 people, something like that. And it was 40 people. People flew in from Seattle, Canada, New York, Galaxy was there, Fidelity was there. And all the people from the group basically either were in Austin or Dallas or flew in. And people from ERCOT. So there were like 4 or 5 people from you know, the organization that organizes Texas's crazy, relatively unregulated utility space. And, you know, just people like talking and cutting deals and just like learning. And yeah, it was just this whole thing. So I'm like incredibly bullish on North American Bitcoin mining. by the way, if you thought that Bitcoin mining was going to be like bad for the planet or something, Qatar just commissioned an 800 megawatt solar plant and the winning bid came in at 0.0159 kilowatts per hour. Yeah. You know, PV solar is down like by a factor of 20 over the last 15 years, 10 in the last 10. I mean, it's just insane. Like, it's just so clear, you know, energy is a good that we produce. There's plenty of it. There's 6,000 times more energy just from the sun alone, let alone nuclear, geothermal, wind, all this other stuff. Just the sun alone, 6,000 times more than we use today hits the planet every second. So, you know, that's just such outdated FUD. And I'm really excited to bring as much, you know, Bitcoin mining over to, you know, as much of the pie should be in North America as possible. And as much as we can sort of do to help make that happen, I'm all for it.
Wow, man, I had no idea you were doing that. That's really cool.
By the way, I think the best introduction to mining that I've heard so far was actually Jan as a guest on Stefan Lavera. He's just a knowledge beast. I don't know. I'm like, yeah, I like throw some parties and talk to people and then Jan thinks hard. but no, so I would say, like, seriously, if anybody is working on mining and like you're serious or you're looking at investing in it or whatever, and you're interested in plugging in with, you know, a group of like 30 people that are kind of trying to share information and help each other get products. And there's a lot of like, you know, selling of old S9s or refurbishing or like, how do I get a good deal on this or that? Or, hey, there's this new fab going up or this new site. Like, it's a pretty active nexus of activity now. And if you want in, just hit up Brady or I. Happy to, you know, plug you in.
All right, Corey, man. Thanks for hanging out with me tonight. It was a lot of fun to chat. Yeah, I am just absolutely stoked to be on the team. I really look forward to working with you guys. It's been amazing to watch you and Jan operate. You guys are absolute beasts, and you've gathered an incredible network of advisors. So, you know, Swan is just taking flight, and it's going to be amazing.
Well, thrilled to have you and all your skills and contributions and, you know, audience and just energy and you're just such a damn good writer. it's great to see that and have that come out from our Twitters every day. It's awesome.
All right, man. Thanks again. Really appreciate it. Take care.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thanks to Corey for joining me for a fun discussion. Let us know your thoughts and questions about the episode. Corey is at Corey Klipsten, at CoryKlipsten. And I am at Citizen Bitcoin on Bitcoin Twitter. And that's really the best way to support the podcast. Please share it out on Bitcoin Twitter. You guys have been doing that a lot lately, and I really appreciate it. It makes a big difference. You can also share the pod with your family and friends. The podcast website is citizenbitcoin.world. If you have any questions for me, please feel free to reach out. My DMs are open on Twitter. I'm at Citizen Bitcoin on Telegram and Keybase, and my email address is citizenbitcoin@pm.me. This week's open source shoutout is bitcoin-only.com. Bitcoin Only is an excellent one-stop shop for resources focused explicitly on Bitcoin only. Everything from books, podcasts, including this one, hardware, software, conferences, meetups, and more. That's bitcoin-only.com. Bookmark it, use it, share it. All right, that's it for this week. Take care out there, Bitcoiners, wherever you happen to be in the world.